I actually feel like I'm in a time machine. It's an amazing feeling. It's really cool. I'll tell you where I am and why I feel that way in this episode of the Wealth Architect Podcast.
It's Mark Yeagy here, Wealth Architect and Lifestyle Investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Mark Yeagy here. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. And I'm talking about being in a time machine. What am I talking about? Well, I am a big Bitcoiner, as you know, right? Like, it took me a while to get there, but now that I'm there, I've gone down the rabbit hole. I've eliminated all my objections about Bitcoin. And I actually think that it's probably the most perfect money that we've ever created, better than gold, because you can't really take gold in your pocket and go across the border or go to Europe with, you know, $10,000 worth of gold. It's just too hard to do, right? But you can do it with Bitcoin, and you could do it in a matter of seconds. You could do it with very little transaction fee. It's really an amazing, amazing thing. Anyway, I could talk for 4 hours about Bitcoin, but I am in El Salvador. Now, El Salvador is this beautiful tropical country. You could see it behind me, and I would show you the beach, but the waves are so loud that you wouldn't be able to hear the podcast. So I'm going to show you a couple pictures of the beach and where I am and what I'm doing. But El Salvador is actually ground zero for Bitcoin. What do I mean by that? Well, back in the middle of 2021, they passed a law that said, now they use the US dollar, right? But they passed a law that says Bitcoin is now legal tender in El Salvador, which means you can basically buy and sell things with Bitcoin. Right? You couldn't do that before, and you can't do that in a lot of places. And they basically told every merchant they had to start accepting Bitcoin. Now, this is a third world country. Let's start with the basics. 30% of the people here had some kind of banking relationship. 70% did not. It's pretty typical of the world. So the world is 70% unbanked. Think about the people in those countries in Africa. Think about the people in a lot of countries in Central America. There's just no banking relationships. Like, you and I take for granted that we can go down to any bank within a couple of miles, and there's probably 30 banks, right? And we can open up an account. They can't do that in El Salvador. They can't do that in a lot of countries. And therefore, they have to exchange currencies or barter or do something else, right? A lot of people, for example, I know a story of some people in some of the African countries. Like, they've never seen a bank, right? If in order to get to a bank, they have to go an hour and a half to be able to open up a bank account. So they don't have a use for that. So they have other ways of doing it. So 70% of the world is unbanked. In El Salvador, they have a country of about 6.8 million people. And what they did is they took 70% of their unbanked, and within 3 or 4 months, they made them banked. So this country has now gone from 30% unbanked to 70% banked, right? Which means now 30% are only unbanked. Which, now that it's interesting, because banking just means that you have some way of controlling money, some way of giving money or receiving money to somebody. You know where they do their banking? Right here. And if you have a $50 phone, which almost everybody does, they use that as their bank. Now, I was part of this really cool culture. So let me tell you why I'm here. So I came here because I run a cryptocurrency hedge fund. And I thought, well, if I'm going to be running a cryptocurrency hedge fund and I'm going to be responsible for all the people that are in my fund, and I feel extremely responsible to them because we're out on this, in this new territory, right? And we're trying to figure out the best way to navigate the new territory. I figure I might as well get to ground zero, where this is the first country in the world that is accepting Bitcoin as their legal tender. So I came here kind of not knowing what to expect. And let me tell you, they, you know, in a lot of ways, it's still clunky, but in some ways, like, if you think about these third world people that are not used to transacting things in this way and they've embraced it, imagine the rest of the world, right? Imagine how silly we are for going, oh, Bitcoin will never work, right? It works here. So let me give you an example. Last night, what I did is I went and had pupusas are these really cool little, I can't even explain them, but they're like little tortillas, but they're filled with cheese and chicken or shrimp or whatever. And they put these on the grill and they fry them up or whatever. And then they bring them to you and they put them with cabbage, and I don't know, they're just really good, really good. And you know, food down here is incredibly inexpensive. And so I got a couple of pupusas and a beer. And I said, do you take Bitcoin? And she said, yeah. I said, okay, great. Now this is my first Bitcoin transaction. I heard it was pretty easy, but I was expecting it to be a little clunky because it was my first transaction too. So I had my wallet where I had my Bitcoin, right? It was right here on my phone. And she pulls up, she puts in, you know, $3.75 or whatever for the dinner and the beer. And she shows me a QR code. And I turn my wallet on and I take a picture of the QR code or I put it up there and the money is transferred immediately as soon as I hit the button that says send. That was actually quicker than a credit card transaction. I looked down to make sure that all my Bitcoin wasn't missing, right? But I had verified it on the QR code that she was getting, that it was $3.75 or whatever the Bitcoin was. And then it verified on my phone. And then boom, it just transferred. Took 2 seconds, cost me very, very, very little. I think it cost me like 2 or 3 cents to do the transaction. And that was it. Now imagine the stakes for the world. Okay. Now I'm not going to go into the whole thing because I want to keep the podcast short, but I'm going to show you some pictures up here on the video version of this podcast of how beautiful this place is. One of the most beautiful places in the world that I've seen. And I've seen 55 or 56 countries. And this one, I'm staying on what's called Bitcoin Beach, right? It's El Zante, which is, it's a beach here, but they've kind of renamed it Bitcoin Beach because everybody takes Bitcoin. And they've tried this experiment to see if it would take off, and it's taken off for more than a year. And now you go down, you're on the beach, and I'll show you a picture here too. And there's a, you know, woman that's selling these little lemonades or these little flavored ices, right? And she got a little umbrella and a little trolley that she's on the beach and she sells these things. She had a sign that says Bitcoin accepted. Pretty cool, right? Like you don't even have to be connected to a power station to be able to accept Bitcoin. You just have to have a phone. So pretty amazing to me that this is happening. So this is a beautiful country. It's progressing. And I went to a launch party of a company that is heavily involved in the crypto NFT space. Now, I don't really know much and talk much about NFTs in the practical way, but I could tell you this company that I was with that had done a launch in conjunction with the country of El Salvador was a real estate play with crypto. It makes a lot of sense. And when you take a country like El Salvador, and I go to Greece a lot, and Greece is similar, the property disputes are rampant because they don't have a really centralized good way to lock up property rights, right? They don't have ways to say, well, this corner of the property is mine or it's not yours and we could prove it. And this company is taking a cryptocurrency, NFT, and using that to delineate property rights. And El Salvador very progressively is embracing it. Two more stories about El Salvador. They have something called the Bitcoin bond. So El Salvador, third world country, you might remember the drug stories of the gang stories, all the stuff they have here. I feel so safe here, unbelievably safe. And so that keeps a lot of people away. It's the press. In a lot of countries I go to, it keeps a lot of people away, right? Even when I went to Greece a few years ago, they were having riots. And I told my buddy, I'm not going to come this year. And he goes, why? I go, they're having riots. He goes, they're always having riots. And I go there and the riots are like 20 people or 30 people. It was really no big deal. But there's nothing to be afraid of here. They want money from the world. They want to grow their country. They have a lot to offer, right? This place is just incredible. And the rest of the world is not giving them money, right? The International Monetary Fund. They don't play by the IMF's rules because they're a third world country. They don't have, you know, military operations, things like that. So the IMF basically kind of gives them the cold shoulder. But yet they owe money to the IMF. They borrowed some money some years ago. And they're looking for some more. And the IMF said, no, we're not going to give you any money. So what would you do if you run a country? Now, by the way, the guy that runs the country is this 29-year-old guy named Nayib Bukele, very loved by his people because what he's trying to do is bring this country up. And I think this country is like where Costa Rica was 10 years ago. It's that up and coming, that beautiful with that much potential. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to issue my own bonds. He calls them Bitcoin bonds, right? He's going to issue those bonds to mine Bitcoin with part of it and to build infrastructure for the country with the other part of it. Pretty smart, right? But then you don't owe any money to anybody else. You owe money to the bondholders who believe that you're going to pay them back based on the promises that you have and based on what Bitcoin does. Now, whether Bitcoin takes off or doesn't, I think it's going to be amazingly successful. You know, that's a different story, but he's raising $1 billion Bitcoin bond, right? to help his infrastructure. So that goes a long way in a small country like this, right? Think about $1 billion in a small community that you live in, what that would do. And then he's got another thing, or maybe he's doing it in conjunction with this, called the volcano bond. So they have this beautiful series of volcanoes in the mountains here that create geothermal energy. And they're going to be putting power stations next to these geothermal conductors, right? These volcanoes, and they're going to make basically free power. Now, what do you need to mine Bitcoin? Well, Bitcoin is a proof of work. In Bitcoin's case, you have to solve these complex mathematical equations and verify the transaction on the blockchain in order to make sure that the blockchain is solid. And it takes energy, right? So it's starting to take more and more energy because the mathematical equations are getting more complex as Bitcoin grows in adaptation. And so you need energy to be fairly cost effective. Because if it costs too much to mine a Bitcoin, even by the time you get one, if you get one, it won't be that much. So imagine locating next to something that has free energy, like a volcano or a waterfall, right? Or, some kind of solar park, right? Those things are amazing. This one here happens to be next to a volcano. They're doing some really cool things. And then finally, and I haven't read all the rules yet, but President Bukele has actually pushed forward 52 new laws that are going to remove regulations and try to encourage people to bring their capital to this country. Now, what's that going to do? Well, I'm telling you right now, if you got a place this beautiful, which is right over here, 100 yards away, as beautiful as this beach, and you have a technology that people are embracing, and you have a reason for people to be here with their money, like there's some future here. Contrast that with some of the other countries in the West that, you and I may live in that have, they don't welcome your money. They tax the crap out of it. They're freezing bank accounts if they don't like what you've donated to. They're not making things easy. And there's not a lot of, you don't look forward and go, wow, this place could be amazing. You're like, this place already is amazing. There's not a lot of huge potential for it to go forward. But here you get somebody with a little vision to be able to go forward, and you're going to create this amazing paradise. I think that, we're in this, we're 10 years before Costa Rica was, but we're also 10 years before a country like Monaco or Monte Carlo, or, places in Europe that have already figured out how to draw money in by lowering taxes, by offering this beautiful lifestyle, by being technologically advanced, by giving people a reason to be here. I think we're looking at a gem in Central America. And if you haven't been to El Salvador and it was never on my list, you really owe it to yourself to check it out. I'm checking it out on behalf of my investors, a little bit selfishly. I'm also enjoying myself, and I think you should too. So El Salvador, put it on your list, and I'll see you next time on the Wealth Architect Podcast.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.